Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we will continue our study of the Book of Job. You will recall that in the 18th chapter, Bildad displays even more obstinacy in maintaining that whatever happens on earth is just and good. Like his predecessor Eliphaz, in his attempts to make sense of Eov's suffering and remain faithful to his theological position, Bildad makes not too subtle accusations against Eov. In the first round, he implied that Eov's children must have sinned grievously, leading to their sudden and untimely deaths. And in the second round, he determines that Eov's physical and emotional pain are proof positive that he had sinned as well. His condition belies the image of the righteous man he had previously presented to the world. Bildad no longer urges Eov to repent, having concluded that Eov is incorrigible. In the 19th chapter, Eov responds to Bildad, expressing exasperation at the explicit and implicit insults made by his supposed friends. Ad ana togyun nafshi v'tedaka'uni bimilim. Ze eser pa'amim tachlimuni lo tevoshu tehakoli. How long will you torment me and oppress me with words? It's 10 times now that you have humiliated me. Shamelessly, you've attacked me. The commentary struggle with interpreting the strange verb, tehakru. Rabbi Yosef Kara suggests it is related to the root hakar in Arabic, which means an audacious attack. Others suggest it is a conjugation of the Hebrew nechar, which means estrangement. Eov is astounded that his friends speak as if they never knew him, and have done so 10 times. Rashi counts 10 Masoretic Parshiot, Stumot, marked by the Samach, between the arrival of his friends and Eov's response in the 19th chapter. Ibn Ezra and Rashbam see the number 10 as a figurative number indicating the multiplicity of insults hurled at Rishoim and obliquely at Eov himself. This is a case of shamelessly blaming the victim, as indicated in verse 4. Ve'afom nam shagiti, iti talin mishugati. If it is true that I have gone astray, my error remains my concern alone. Given that none of his friends can point out a sin or wrongdoing that Eov may have committed to deserve such horrific punishment, it would seem that any imperfection in his character remains hidden. Thus Eov points out the sophistry in Bildad's argumentation, which serves only to bolster their unsubstantiated belief that whatever happens must be justly deserved, as they throw Eov under the bus, as they speak to him with condescension. Im omnam alai tagdilu, v'tochichu alai chelpati, diu efo ki eloka ivtani, umetsudo alai hikif. If indeed you would exalt yourselves above me and use my humiliation against me, then know that God has wronged me and drawn his net around me. Both Bildad and Eliphaz have used Eov's pain and bereavement as proof positive that he must have committed horrific sins to deserve such punishment. Such twisted logic is sadly common when people confront unexplainable tragedy. All too often, when hearing of an untimely death caused by cancer, people will unthinkingly ask the mourners if the deceased engaged in risky behaviors such as smoking. Hearing of a horrific assault against a young woman It is all too common to ask if her mannerisms or her dress were provocative to bring about such a terrible attack. Blaming the victim is a defense mechanism by which people distance themselves from a threatening occurrence and attempt to confirm their own invulnerability to similar risks. They want desperately to believe that the world is just and bad things won't happen to them. Whatever their motivations in blaming the victim, people compound the suffering by adding loneliness and alienation to the pain and grief. Eov rails against the overt and implied accusations made by his friends, who were struggling to resolve the dissonance caused by the acute and undeserved pain they witnessed. He adamantly insists that though he may not be perfect, his calamity is a glaring perversion of justice. In verses 7 and 8, he complains against the unfathomable silence from heaven. Hen etzak chamas velo ene, ashavea ve'en mishpat, ochi gader velo evor ve'al nitivotai choshech yasim. Though I cry, violence, I get no response. Though I call for help, there is no justice. He has blocked my way so I cannot pass. He has shrouded my paths in darkness. Not only has Eov lost his children and his property, he has been robbed of his dignity and social standing. Kvodi me'alai hifshit, vayasar ateret roshi, yitzeni saviv ve'elech, vayasa ka'etz tikvati. He has stripped me of my honor and removed the crown from my head. He tears me down on every side till I am gone. He uproots my hope like a tree. All sense of security has been pulled out from under him, as Eov lost all hope for the future. Worst of all is the loneliness that comes with being misunderstood. In verses 13 to 16, Eov bemoans that he is estranged from all who knew him and loved him in the past, such that he can no longer recognize himself. Achai me'alai hirchik, ve'yod'ai achzaru mimeni. Chadlu krovai, umiyuda'ai shchechuni. Garei beiti ve'amotai lezar tachshivuni. Nochri hayiti be'enehem. Le'avdi karati ve'lo yane, be'mo pi etchanen lo. He has alienated my family from me. My acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have gone away. My closest friends have forgotten me. My guests and my female servants count me a foreigner. I'm a stranger in their eyes. I summon my servant, but he does not answer, though I beg him with my own mouth. Eov has become repulsive in the eyes of all who see him, and he finds no comfort or empathy even from his wife, as he describes in the 17th verse. Ruchi zara li'ishti, v'chanoti livnei bitni. My breath is abhorrent to my wife, and I plead for the children of my belly. Though the mother of his children is also grieving their sudden and tragic end, their shared bereavement does not bring them close to one another. It does not bind them. Their bond is marred by his physical ailment, and they cannot find consolation in each other's embrace. The second clause, referring to Bnei Bitni, is very problematic, leading many translations to veer from the literal. How can Eov plead for or expect a response from his children who have all been killed? Ramban speculates that Eov may be referring to some grandchildren who survived the tempest but now treat him with disdain. Rashi suggests that this phrase refers to orphans that Eov raised as if they were his biological children and now have turned their back on him. Ralbag and Mitzudot, on the other hand, offer a radically different interpretation of this verse. They would translate it as follows: I am estranged from my wife, who refuses any intimacy, though I plead with her to give us a chance to produce other children. Eov sees the expression of disgust and revulsion in the eyes of all who look at him, as maggots crawl in the open sores covering his body, which has been reduced to skin and bones, save for the skin of his teeth. He bemoans, "All my intimate friends abhor me, and whomever I loved has turned against me. My bone cleaves to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth." Whoever sees him turns away appalled, and he pitifully cries for some sympathy. "Chanuni, chanuni, atem re'ai, ki yad Eloka nag'ah bi. Have pity on me, have pity on me. You are my friends, for the hand of God has touched me." Eov wants to record the tragic saga before he dies, afraid that he may have no other way to leave a trace to future history. In verses 23 and 24, he demands, "Mi ten efo v'yichtevun milai, mi ten basefer v'yuchaku, be'et barzel ve'ofaret, la'ad batzur yechatzvun." Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. Then, in an incredible declaration of faith, he affirms, "Ve'ani yadati, goali chai, ve'acharon al afar yakum. Ve'achar ori nikfu zot, umipsari echeze Eloka. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will endure last upon the dust, and that after my skin is destroyed, then without my flesh, I shall see God." And Eov closes this chapter with a warning that Hashem will avenge him and punish those who libelously accused him. Thank you for learning with me.
Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.